My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people by comforting, praying for, and serving them. In today's message, The Tree on Which the Savior Died, Dad speaks of the cross, the tree of sin, the tree of justice, and the tree of liberty. We hope it is encouraging for you today.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are back again. And I just look forward to every week of coming back and worshiping with you all over the world, all around the world. We gather at the feet of Jesus. And someday we're going to be there personally. We're going to be in the body. It'll be a resurrected body, but we'll be there to see each other and to see the Savior. And won't that be beautiful? And so today we're going to be preaching about the tree on which the Savior died. And that's a sermon about the cross, the old rugged cross. I just love to preach about the cross. But before we do that, I want to read some of the letters. And we just thank you for writing to us. And so I want to share some of them with you so you'll know what people are thinking and where they're at. And maybe we can answer some of your questions. We have the first letters from Hamilton, Montana. And this person writes, it's a lady. Please accept this gift. I thank the Lord Jesus and the entire staff for bringing me back to Jesus. 2.5 years now. And that's, you know, that's part of the message. That's always the message. You can always come back. Maybe you've accepted Jesus and then something happened and you drifted away or you got upset or who knows, the devil's got a million ways to make us to stumble and you drifted away. And now today God is talking to you and he's telling you, I love you, come back home. And like the prodigal son, he'll open his arms to you if you repent of your sins and come back to Jesus. That's what this dear lady did. Here's Centerville, South Dakota. I appreciate the time you put into the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study that we have every month, a new one, every week. Every month we have the Bible study, and it's called The New Song, and this month we're having a little Bible study on why we should give thanks or how we can give thanks to the Lord Jesus and to the Heavenly Father. It's the month of November, so you write to us. Get your pencil and paper and be ready and send it, and we'll be happy to send it to you. And so he said, I appreciate the time you put into the new song, very uplifting, and the word of the Lord. In the word of the Lord. Being a retired banker, I support your ministry because it is accountable in the finances, with its finances, the ECFA, your brother in Christ. And what is the ECFA? It's an international organization that checks our books. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our books, they audit our books. And so how much we take in and how much we spend and where we spend it and are we spending it where we say we will. And that is in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. And so when you give to the Christian Worship Hour, you can know that it's going to the cause of Christ, to the things of the Lord. And then one more letter I want to read and listen to this. This is from New York City. I'm in my 20s. I live in New York City on my own. I work as a Broadway performer. And most importantly, I'm a Christian. I'm pretty certain God planted me here because there's so many depressed, broken-hearted actors that need to hear the gospel, which I freely share. Anyway, I accepted Jesus when I was 5 or 6 years old. And isn't that beautiful, right in the heart of New York City? Here's this young lady in her 20s, and she's living for Jesus. And so I called her, and we visited together. I had a wonderful visit. And during that visit, she said, you know, would you be willing to be my spiritual grandpa? And I said, I would just be honored to do that. And so a little bit later, I got an email. This is what she said. A prayer a day for my new grandpa in Christ, my Christian Worship Hour family. And then listen to this. Every single seed planted throughout your years of ministering to the world, even if the person only heard the show for 1 minute over shortwave radio 20 years ago in Saudi Arabia, God has blessed it. What a glorious God to serve. Isn't that beautiful? She's saying that if 20 years ago when we were preaching, we've been preaching almost 40 years on the Christian Worship Hour, and we're on shortwave radio, which covers 90% of the world's population. And she said, if you preach something 20 years ago, if it was the Word of God, it'll bear fruit maybe even to this day. And that's what God says. He says, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose to which it has been sent. And that's why we'd center everything. All we preach is the Bible, the Word of God, because that's where the power is. And that Word of God will endure forever. There'll never be a time when the Word of God doesn't stand. And so I hope that you'll help us in the work. You'll write to us. Maybe you'll support us. And I'm going to give the address at the close of the service. But right now we want to look at the tree on which the Savior died. And we want to consider the words of the Apostle Peter as he fearlessly stood before the Sanhedrin. And he declared concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Acts 5, verse 30, he said, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. When Peter talks about a tree, he's talking about the cross, the old rugged cross, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Peter's referring to the cross as a tree because the tree, the cross was hewn out of a tree. It comes from a tree. The tree has been referred to by many different people. Samuel Porter, for instance, called it the triumphant tree. Marguerite Peterson or Wilkerson called it the radiant tree. Many call it the tree of life. Paul said of this tree, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking a cross about the old rugged cross. He's talking about the tree. God calls it the tree of the curse. And on this tree, Jesus' body was broken and Jesus' blood was shed. Peter gets the term tree from the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, God tells us, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. And then the next verse says, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Now that's an interesting notice. The man is put to death, and then he's hung on a tree, or put on the cross, or hung on a tree. And you see, that's because the Jews never practiced capital punishment by crucifixion. They practiced it by stoning. And so it was always by stoning. It was the Romans that used the crucifixion. And that's why Jesus was crucified. It was the Roman government that crucified the Son of God. And so the message of Christ is the message of the cross, the message of truth, the message of the tree. Let's look at the tree in three different ways. First of all, let's look at the tree as the tree of the curse because it is called the place of sin. God calls it the tree of curse. It's the place of sin. Not especially means that Jesus was made sin for us on the cross. I think that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the way to the cross, you remember how Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying? Listen to Luke's account of this event in Luke 22, 41 to 44. It says, and Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Have you ever wondered why he had this agony of the bloody sweat? It wasn't because he was going to be crucified. That didn't stop him a bit. The book of Hebrews says, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He rejoiced that he could go to the cross and die for us. And martyrs were dying all of the time, right and left. No, it wasn't the fear of the cross that made him sweat the blood or drops of blood. It was this wonderful Jesus, because it was taking upon himself into that holy, sinless, perfect being all of the sins of the world for all time, past, present, past and present and future. All of them rolled together in one thing, one huge, awful, terrible bundle, and placed on him, the holy, sinless Son of God. That was his agony. And when you come to the crucifixion, then you see why it's called the tree of the curse. It shows where sin was finally and fully manifested. It was shown when sinful men crucified the only sinless man that ever lived. Really, when you look at the history of mankind, sin had already done a terrible work to a degree. It had degraded mankind. It had put a mankind in opposition to God, so they're enemies of God. It had bent men's back. It had placed his footsteps on the highway to hell. Sin had already done its work. And so it was that sin was there. And sin was there before Jesus came to the cross even. It was because of sin-filled men that Christ was crucified. It was sin that filled their minds with hate. It was sin that filled their mouths with cursing and with bitterness. It was sin that made their hearts so desperately, unbelievably wicked. It was sin that filled their hands with wicked works. It was sin that made their feet swift to shed blood. It was sin that nailed the spikes and stood the cross and pierced the side. That's the work of sin. That's the fruit of sin, if you want to know what it is. So sometimes men try to cover up their sins, and so they put on a cloak. They cover themselves with a cloak of culture or religion or works or good deeds or education or anything and everything. They try to cover it up. And that's the way it was with the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees that day. They all wore garments of culture and religion, and they looked so good on the outside. But Jesus said, inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You're rotten to the core. Yes, on the cross, these garments were torn wide away, and it revealed to all the world the ghastly, wicked, devilish wickedness of the sin and the treacherous heart. At the cross, sinners slew the Son of God. The creatures crucified the Creator, if you can imagine it. It doesn't seem possible, but it's true. Yes, it's the tree of sin. And then it's the tree of justice. The cross was called the tree of the curse by God because that's where the justice of God smote and destroyed sin forever. We don't realize what true justice is today. There's so much injustice in the world. That television is full of it. Life is full of it. There's so much injustice and unfairness and fraud and grief and graft and cheat and lawyers with their loopholes, smart, brilliant men with loopholes getting around justice and beating justice. It's everywhere. Wickedness is so common, we don't know what stern justice is anymore. Today, men don't think of divine justice unless they become convicted of their sin. And when they become convicted of their sin and they see they've fallen short of the glory of God and they've fallen short of those Ten Commandments, they do like Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of sin, and I live with people of sin. Woe is me." When we get a glimpse of God, we cry out as Isaiah did. Yes, few realize what true stern justice is anymore. We don't realize the perfect, impartial, permanent judgment and justice of God. Now, God is a God of love. He would gladly forgive and forget sins. He would like to just throw it away and not have anything to do. But he's a God also of justice. He's a God of love and he's a God of justice. And so that justice says he cannot forgive sin. He can't put it aside. Sin has to be paid for. He doesn't say you owe like you go to the bank You owe him $5,000. You don't have any money. You go to the bank and he says, I think maybe let's just turn over a new page. Try it on your banker. And God says, you owe a debt. You sinned against debt. You sinned against God. And the only way is somebody has to pay for that sin. And you got to pay for it with your own soul in hell. But Jesus said, I'll take that sin. The only sinless Son of God, the only person who was ever sinless is Jesus Christ. And he is God and he is man. And he says, I'll take their sins. And it just staggers our comprehension that this Lord Jesus Christ came out and he said, I'll pay for their sins. Thus it was that the justice of God smote his own son on Calvary, because at the cross, justice cried out, I must punish sin, and then justice punished sin by taking the body of the Lord, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There at Calvary, justice drew his sword and pierced the Son of God. And that's why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was because he carried our sins and God's justice was poured out and his wrath was poured out on his own son to pay for those sins. And it was such a terrible sight that the sun hid its face and there was darkness over the face of the earth. Oh, my dear God. But it was paid, don't you see? Somebody put it like this. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friend through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Yes, the deepest stroke was justice. And he suffered from the injustice of man, and he died under the justice of God. And our sins are paid in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. His precious blood was shed to pay for our sin. And you have the love of God who loved us so much he gave his son. And we have the justice of God that sins are paid for. They're not set aside or brushed under the, put under some carpet or something and put in a corner. They're paid in full. It's the tree of justice. But finally, it's the tree of liberty. The cross is a triumphant, radiant tree. There we receive and we gain our emancipation. We get our liberty. We get our freedom. St. Paul said it like this, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That liberty was won for us at the cross of Calvary. Victor Hugo said at the address of the planting of the Liberty Tree, he said, the first tree of liberty was planted by God himself on Golgotha. The first tree of liberty was the cross on which Jesus Christ was offered. He was offered a sacrifice for the liberty, equality, and fraternity of the human race. Hugo was correct. And wherever the cross has been proclaimed, there's been liberation, joyous liberation, freedom. The frees the slave. It lifts all men. It elevates women. It sanctifies marriage. It ennobles labor. It enlightens the pagan. It saves the sinner. It encourages the Christian. It's the most glorious of all. It frees us from sin. And sin cannot damn our soul, because those sins are washed away when we accept Jesus Christ. But you have to have Jesus. You have to ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins and cleanse you. Because if you don't accept that wonderful gift of God, you'll pay for your own sins in hell yourself. And nobody can decide for you. You have to decide yourself. You decide your destiny. I will go to heaven because I accepted Jesus Christ, or I'll go to hell because I turned my back on Jesus Christ. He says, no, sir, I don't need anybody's help. I'm good enough in myself, and you'll find out that all of our works of righteousness are like filthy, filthy, dirty rags. And they'll never save you from the pit of hell. You have to have Jesus Christ. He is the way. And when that wonderful Lord Jesus, we put our faith in him, the blood of Jesus Christ washes it all away, takes away all our sins. And so John declares in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto him who washed us with our sins and saved us in his own blood from the cross, that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the Lord Jesus, this is what happens. We have all these sins plaguing us. But when we come to Jesus, he washes it all away. He takes it all away, and it's all cleared away. And we're free to put our faith in Jesus, and we're free from sin, and we'll never have to face those sins again. I think over my life of all the sins I've committed and the sins I commit every day, and I confess them to the Lord every day. And the sins, if as long as I live, they're all paid for in full. And I thank him for that freedom, and he set me free, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Satan wants to tempt me. Satan wants to get me to worry, but he can't do it because they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. The tree transformed into a cross is now the transforming cross. The cross lifted up Christ, but Christ lifted up the cross. And on the cross was a dead thing. The cross was a dead thing. It was cut down. It was cut off from the root of life. It had no branches, and it had no leaves, and it had no life, and it had no fruit, and it had no hope. There was nothing for it, but it was a dead thing. And there was a dead man on that dead tree, and that dead man now lives. He's raised from the dead, and he lives. Jesus Christ lives, and the blood from the dying man watered that dead tree, and it lives too. And it is watered with the blood of the Son of God so that it reaches all the way to heaven, and the arms reach all around the earth. And anybody can come and go to heaven, but it's through the cross, it's through Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to heaven without me. You got to go. The way to heaven is through a person. It's through Jesus. It's not through an organization. It's not through a ritual. It's not through a ceremony. It's through a person, a living person who died for your sins and was raised from the grave, that wonderful Savior. And so we look upon the Christ, upon that cross. We look in faith, and we pray the prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And we confess our sins to Jesus, and we promise to forsake those sins. And we ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us. And as we pray to him, the heavy burden of sin is lifted away, is taken away. And that awful guilt of things and the things we've done. And some people say, oh, I've sinned against light. God will never forgive that. God will forgive all of our sins, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And my grace is sufficient for thee. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so we come to the cross. That cross, that old rugged cross, and we rejoice because now it is full of redemption. It is full of everlasting life. It is full of the grace of God. And that wonderful tree, oh, it set me free. And I am free today, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friend, I'm asking you, have you ever been to the tree? Have you ever been to the cross? And if not, why not? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for death to come and take you and put in that place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Or was that what you're waiting for? Come to Jesus now. Millions have come, and millions more will come as we're preaching this gospel now. They're coming all over the world. So just wherever you are, just bow your head. Whoever you are, wherever you are, bow your head and just pray, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sin. Jesus taught repentance, go and sin no more. That is, live for me the best you can. You won't be perfect, but come to Jesus and then thank him for saving you. Now, if you've done that, if you want to write to us, we'll send you some literature. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to have you write and send us a gift to help us. And here's something you from all over the world, you can send a gift. You get to ChristianWorshipHour.com and you can send a gift. We got a gift just shortly from Israel. And we've got them from different parts of the world. You can say, I believe in that ministry and I want to help them. Christian Worship Hour, all of you on shortwave, you listen now. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and USA. And we'll write to you. And in the meantime, get out your Bible and read your Bible. Read the Gospel of John and pray to Jesus. Now we're going to pray. And in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. And I pray, I just praise your name. And Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Some of them, Lord, have given their life. And some of them, their homes are disappeared, all torn apart and thrown up. The little children don't even know which way to turn. Help them to know that we love them and are praying for them, and help them to know that you are watching over them and you know all about it. And Lord, we're also praying for those who are shut-ins and those who are sick and those who are lonely and those who are weary, and help them to know that you're always with them. We pray for the children that they'll come to Jesus, and the young people, you'll bless them. Oh God, thank you for being such a wonderful Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to thank all of you for joining us today. We hope to hear from you. Don't forget to write to us now. Got to have your help if we're going to carry on. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And you know what? Someday, maybe today, Jesus will come again. And eventually we're going to all be in heaven. If we trust in Jesus, if we accept Jesus, we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to see each other. And we're going to talk about this day. When you prayed and you were born again and you became a child of God and you had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this day you did that, and that will stand up for eternity. And won't we celebrate when we get together in heaven? God bless you. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. Take care.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.